Organic Collective is an anarchist group based in San Diego, California. They are active in supporting migrant people's struggles against the repressive and often violent border policies of the United States. I spoke with Michael Cardenas, an organizer with the Organic Collective. Here he discusses the Minutemen, a recently formed right-wing vigilante group to police the U.S.-Mexican border and the anarchist struggle for free movement. So just to start, can you tell us what the Organic Collective is?
Sure. The Organic Collective is an anarchist collective in San Diego, and we organize mostly against borders and against the U.S.-Mexico border in particular, and also against corporate globalization. And so we came together in, I believe it was September of 2003, for an action called the SDTJ mobilization. And that was like a solidarity protest with the WTO protests in Cancun. It was like, if you can't make it to Cancun, come here to the border. And we tried to bring the focus to how globalization affects the border and creates migration and attention to the militarization of the border.
You mentioned you're an anarchist collective. How do you see anarchism playing a part in your struggle, essentially, against the border?
It was kind of recently that we decided to change our mission and our website and stuff to explicitly say that we are an anarchist collective. For a while, it's said that we're anti-authoritarian, and a lot of us identify as anti-authoritarian or anarchist. And so when we did that, we actually put out this document called Our Location Within and Outside of Anarchism, explaining how we find parts of anarchism useful and we find parts of anarchism or parts of the current contemporary anarchist movement frustrating. And we see it as relating to our struggles against the border in a lot of different ways. I mean, one way is that we think that throughout history, a lot of anarchists have been involved with struggles to improve the conditions of people's lives today, using direct action or using other organizing means, like the Spanish anarchists that organized a lot with labor unions to try to improve people's conditions immediately. And so we see that as in solidarity or similar to the work that we're doing around the border. It seems that here in San Diego, the militarization of the border so negatively affects the lives of so many people. I mean, every time we do a workshop anywhere near the border region, somebody else has another awful, heartbreaking story for us about how the Border Patrol, when we were doing the SDTJ mobilization, a young kid came to us and told us about how he wanted to play with a dog that was at the protest because the Border Patrol shot his dog. And so definitely people are really affected by the terror of, you know, border enforcement here in San Diego on a daily basis. Also, we are organized from the principle that the hierarchy is in itself a form of oppression, and we feel that, you know, the border is like a huge concrete manifestation of hierarchy, of these decisions in D.C. or in Mexico City or somewhere else, you know, affecting people's lives here in San Diego in a really negative way.
Actually, I wanted to bring up this other question about the U.S.-Mexican border, which, as many of us can imagine, must be quite different than the U.S.-Canadian border. Maybe you can tell us a bit about this border as it manifests itself in its physical form, and what are some of the dangers that people face around this border?
The U.S.-Mexico border has a lot of variation in its physical manifestations in different areas. So starting like at the coast, actually starting in the water outside of the coast, the fence extends out into the water. But the last 4 miles of the fence from the coast inland are an old fence that's made of this like rusty corrugated metal. It's probably 15 feet tall. And it was actually made from parts of military machines that were used in Desert Storm. And they recycled them for this purpose of making them into the border wall appropriately. And so for the last 4 miles, that's what the border looks like. So Organic Collective has been involved in a campaign to stop this new thing called the triple fence. And so a lot of the rest of the border here in the San Diego region is what's called the triple fence. And so it's three fences. They're separated by a distance of 50 meters. So there's three fences, and there's 50 meters in between each fence. And the reason they came up with that number was because that's the area that the SUVs, the Border Patrol drives, need to make a U-turn going 50 miles an hour. So it's three fences separated by a very wide area, and it's got, like, stadium-style lighting around it. And in order to build this sort of fence, they have to flatten out all of the hills and mesas and valleys in the area. And so in the last 4 miles near the coast, this is actually an area that's an endangered species preserve for plants and animals. And so part of our campaign was to mobilize people to the Coastal Commission hearing here in San Diego. The Coastal Commission makes decisions about environmental standards like the Clean Air Act and Clean Water Act and government policies that, you know, how they relate to those standards. And so we got a bunch of people to go and send their comment after comment to say that they're opposed to the fence and opposed to destroying all this endangered area in order to build a bigger fence. And so the Coastal Commission turned the request down and told the government, well, this plan that you have for building this huge triple fence, it violates the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act. It's totally an environmental disaster, and so you can't build it. And I can get more back to that struggle later. But so a lot of the area is triple fence. And then as you go farther out into the desert, then there's areas like a lot of Arizona where the fence is simply barbed wire. So what people experience who live near the border is not only this huge fence in front of them, but the Border Patrol is constantly patrolling the fence back and forth. And the Border Patrol actually comes into the neighborhoods that are near the triple border fence. Just 2 weeks ago, there was an incident where some Border Patrol agents chased down these two youth who live in San Ysidro, which is the city there, and they chased them into a housing complex, and they beat them very badly until they had to be hospitalized. And that's the kind of thing that people have to deal with through the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol also goes onto the trolleys here in San Diego to ask people for their papers. So their reach is very far into San Diego.
I'd like you to also elaborate a bit on what the dangers people would face or the difficulties or challenges that people face in crossing the U.S.-Mexican border.
As a result of all of these huge fences, the reason the fence varies so much is because it's basically in the more hospitable areas, there's more fencing. So where there are closer, like, neighborhoods or people's backyards or whatnot, then there's more fencing. Out in more into the desert, where temperatures are higher, where there's a lot, you know, populated areas are a lot more sparse, and a lot of the areas are even rocky, that is where migrant people are being forced to cross by these huge fences. And so a lot of times, I think the most common cause of death for migrant people in the U.S.-Mexico border is just dehydration, because people are crossing through this desert with these insanely high temperatures, and they just run out of water. So there's a group in San Diego called the Border Angels, and what they do is they go out and they set up water stations in the desert so that people crossing won't die of dehydration, which is a common cause.
Recently, there's been a vigilante right-wing group who has been patrolling the U.S.-Mexican border, calling themselves the Minutemen. First, just tell us a little bit about who they are and what they're doing.
The Minutemen are a non-governmental group that has a volunteer group started by two guys, mostly a guy in California by the name of James Gilchrist and a guy in Arizona by the name of Chris Simcox. And Arizona and even San Diego has a long history of vigilantism around the border. As of late, it's been more of a problem in Arizona with groups like Ranch Rescue, and not as much of a problem in San Diego. But what the Minutemen have been trying to do is to sort of be a more hospitable face for the vigilantism and try to be more media savvy, I guess. James Gilchrist has even said a bunch of times that the media press coverage that they've gotten and support from the media that they've gotten is more important than anything they've actually done on the ground. And so what they are saying that they want to do is to go out and be a presence on the U.S.-Mexico border. They claim that they're doing the job that the government's not doing because they claim there are not enough Border Patrol agents. And they also claim to have a policy of being non-confrontational, whereas they say that they're just going out there to look for migrant people, and when they find them, to call the Border Patrol and to not be confrontational with them. In practice, that has been not true at all. There were a number of cases. They operated for a month in April in Arizona, and during that time, there were a number of cases where the Minutemen did very harmful and dangerous things to people. There was actually a family of people crossing, and this group of Minutemen stopped them and told them to lie down on the ground with their faces down with their guns pointing at them. And that's another important point, is the presence of the Minutemen is a very militarized presence. Most of them carry guns, either pistols or rifles of some sort. Recently, a legal observer from Arizona came here to San Diego and gave a talk, and he showed a bunch of photos of the Minutemen. And they're not the photos that you'll see on CNN or on the Minutemen website where they try to portray the Minutemen as volunteers like your grandmother. But these photos were of the more serious Minutemen who were dressed up in like full military garb, some of them wearing bulletproof vests, with like multiple weapons on, you know, big radios, lots of military-style devices, night vision gear, just further amplifying the militarization of the border, and just being a threatening, fearsome presence to migrant people. Another incident happened in April, which defies the Minutemen's claim being non-confrontational, is that one migrant person was forced to hold up a T-shirt that said, "I got caught by the Minutemen, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt," and had photographs taken of him. That's the kind of thing that the Minutemen are doing. Another issue with the Minutemen is they're clearly they're basically opening up the space where people can come out of the closet with their racist goals. So there's lots of white power groups that are getting involved with the Minutemen that have posted numerous posts all over the internet with their plans, like saying, "Oh, this Minutemen project is great. I get to go out and hunt migrant people."
There have also been many actions taken against the Minutemen recently. Can you tell us about some of those actions?
So in the Minutemen's first action in April, they were Border Patrol in April. There were a number of groups organizing against them, like there was a group called No More Deaths in Arizona. There was also the Arizona ACLU, and No More Deaths organized sort of protests against the Minutemen. The ACLU organized a legal observing monitoring program where they would be out monitoring the Minutemen to make sure that they're not committing human rights violations. And now the Minutemen have announced plans to extend to lots of other states, to Texas and to California. And so the ACLU has come here to California, and they're also planning on doing a similar program here. I believe they did that program also in conjunction with the American Friends Service Committee, who is also helping them organize here in California as well. So that was some of the stuff that was done in April and that will be done in the following months. Another action that was done was there was a group called Swarm the Minutemen, and they set up a website, swarmtheminutemen.com, and they were encouraging people to engage in information warfare against the Minutemen. They posted information on their website saying that people should call the Minutemen and take up their phone lines, pretend to volunteer and not really volunteer, email them large amounts of email, fax black sheets of paper to them, and they put all these phone numbers and email addresses. Well, within a few days, the domain name provider for that website forced them to take all of their content down. A few weeks later, the Swarm the Minutemen group announced that they were going to do a virtual sit-in against the Minutemen in conjunction with Electronic Disturbance Theater, which is one of the groups that developed the theory of electronic civil disobedience and virtual sit-ins. And Ricardo Dominguez, who is a member of Electronic Disturbance Theater, is also here in San Diego, and he worked on that sit-in against the Minutemen as well. At that time, they also announced that they had a number of mirrors for their old content, which was forced to be taken down, one in New York and in Italy. And so the sit-in was for 3 days. It was during a conference. The Minutemen had a summit called the Unite to Fight in Las Vegas, where they had workshops on how migrant people are degrading American culture, on what diseases migrant people carry, and all sorts of racist workshops and ideas being propagated at this summit. So during the summit, there was this three-day virtual sit-in, and Swarm the Minutemen posted on their site that 78,000 people participated in the virtual sit-in, that over the three-day period, at times, the Minutemen website was unavailable on the Internet. So that is some of the other actions that have been done since then.
It's an interesting direct action for the 21st century, this electronic civil disobedience.
Yeah, it's really interesting in the case of the Minutemen because the main guy of the Minutemen, having said that the press coverage was the most important thing, means that their website, their ability to get out information, is very critical to them. So for this group for electronic disturbance theater to interfere with that, is a pretty powerful gesture. There's also a new coalition that's formed here in San Diego called Gente Unida. And this coalition initially came together because of the Minutemen announcing their plans to come here to San Diego. But once they came together, it was a broad, diverse range of groups, including the Organic Collective and the Border Angels and the ISO here in San Diego, some student groups like Resistencia Estudiantil, and a group called Fighting Imperialism Stand Together, which is another student organization. And they came together, and people were expressing this feeling, especially those of us in the Organic Collective feel that it's really important that when looking at the Minutemen, to not just be opposed to the Minutemen and then to not simply talk about the Minutemen, but to talk about how the Minutemen are simply a smaller manifestation of the huge violence that migrant people face. So at the same time we're opposing the Minutemen, we're also opposing the Border Patrol and the Triple Fence. And Gente Unida has come out with their statement. They'll be having a press conference on Saturday and a big protest on July 2nd in San Ysidro and very close to the fence, with the statement that they are opposed to all violations of the human rights of migrant people, regardless of who they're perpetrated by. And we in the Organic Collective are going to be having the message that we're opposed to the Minutemen, but we're just as opposed or more opposed to the Border Patrol and the Triple Fence and all of the things that are done against migrant people and detentions and deportations and all of these things.
There are actions coming up in August in Tijuana to highlight many of these issues that you've brought up. This is going to be under the name Border Hack. Can you tell us briefly about Border Hack and what's going to be happening there?
I guess it's important to talk about history, and that people have been opposing the border by crossing it for as long as it's been in existence. And so Border Hack has actually happened 3 years in the past. I believe it was 2001, 2002, and 2003. And it is a camp that's organized in Tijuana, and it's organized at the border fence. And I don't want to really speak for the organizers, but what they have said is that it's a main part of what Border Hack is about is to have a border camp like the European border camps or the European no border camps, where it's a camp opposed to the border, but to have it organized not by first worlders, but by organized by people who are directly negatively affected by the border. And so Border Hack is going to be happening this year in Tijuana. I believe it's August 19th, 20th, and 21st. And so some of the focus of the Border Hacks in the past years have been to look at these sort of new actions like electronic civil disobedience. Ricardo did actions at previous Border Hacks, Ricardo Dominguez, and to really think about how to hack the border, how to investigate the border and get around it and come up with ways to subvert it using technology or physically or any other ways.
Again, I've been on the phone with Michael from the Organic Collective in San Diego. Thank you for being with us this evening.
Thanks for having us.
This report has been produced for the CKUT Community News Collective in Montreal by Aaron Lakoff.